Okay, you're ready to go.
Okay, Commissioner.
Yeah, as a substitute, please. All you people out there on the web, don't take this too seriously. Actually, it wasn't bad. I got ahead of you. That's the closest we've come.
Ochel poel kishut, afilo bedinar.
Kotevet.
Afilo bedinar. A poel, who we know is allowed to eat at the time that he's working, can eat even a very valuable thing. So he can eat a melon that's worth a dinar just for this single melon. Or he can eat a kotevet of a date, even though it was worth a dinar.
Sure, the laws of Hasmon, a loyal poel, poel yeter of karo.
He can eat, but he cannot eat more than he is working for.
In other words, if his ikar sakar is $10, then he can't eat more than it is that he's working for. Now, this Mishnah, therefore, raises some very, very important issues that we haven't really grappled with at all, which is the schus that the Torah is giving to the poel, how, in fact, does it relate to his sakar? Is this something of a tip, a mandatory tip, that somebody who's working is allowed to work, is allowed to eat while he's working as an additional tip that you should give him, in which case obviously a tip can't be more than the actual payment. I mean, that would be crazy. You've got to eat more than his sakar. Or is this a type of gift like we have, like a chikul paya? Right? We have gifts that the Torah insists that you give to the poor. This is a gift that the Torah insists that you give to a poel. It has nothing to do with the sakhar that he's making. It has no relationship at all. You know, a gift that you give of like a chikul paya is given because the man is poor. It has nothing to do with what he's doing for you. So maybe the fact that someone is working for you and is in your vineyard gives him certain rights, and then it has nothing to do with the fact that you're paying him or how much you're paying him. And if this is what's hitting the accountants, the ones who are machted, and the lawyers among us, what is going to happen to the Hamunah? So when Rabbi Elazar Chasman says that that you cannot eat more than you're making, he seems to imply that it's a type of tip. Now the Gemara is going to discuss this issue. The Chachamim matirin, the Chachamim say, no, he can even eat more than his actual salary. Now, this seems to not be adding anything to the original Chachamim, because the opening sheet of the Mishnah, which said a poel can eat even a very valuable melon, didn't make it dependent on how much money he's making. So although the Mishnah pretends to tell us three different shitot over here, really there only seem to be two shitot. Why would it repeat the Chachamim Matirim at the end? This too the Gemara is going to discuss. Aval, melamdim et ha'adam. However, it is our responsibility to teach human beings to be human beings. And shelo yei rav kan, don't be a slob. A guy who's going to be a slob and take advantage of the situation and say, I'm working here, I might as well take the best known in the field and so on, he's not going to get a job very quickly again. So mamela, it's part of our responsibility in this foot that we're supposed to have for the person to see to it that it's used properly. The first the Gemara wants to know what distinguishes the first Chachamim, meaning the Tanakhama, from the Chachamim Matirim in the Sefer. That's the Gemara Chachamim Hainu Tanakhama. Isn't the Chachamim in the Mishnah exactly the same as the first sheet that said that a poel can eat? Without mentioning any conditions, it seems to be irregardless of whether it's more than the salary. I mean, that's what they're saying. Poel can eat even something that's very valuable. Well, perhaps the difference between them is that the continuation of what it says after Chachamim Matirim in the Mishnah, Abba Melamdim et Adam, in other words, there's a responsibility here that the Beit Din takes the man aside and gives him a lesson about how to be a human being, that is only true according to the Chachamim in the Sefer. But the Tanakhama does not hold Tanakhama, Letle Melamdim. They don't hold that we take responsibility for his behavior. We don't attempt to avoid this kind of behavior. If a guy's going to lose his job, it's his problem, but we don't go out of our way to prevent people from eating more than their salary, or something that would be looked at askance for eating. And the Rabbanan, who are the Sefer of the Mishnah, that's what distinguishes them from the Tanakhama, and Itluhu Malamdim, they do hold that we're Malamdim. Or, Ibaizema, there may be another difference between them. Ike Benel Duravati. The difference may be in the implication of what they're saying, because there is a problem that we haven't discussed. And that is Rav Asi's case. Rav Asi points out, the other Rav Asi, Afilu lo secharo ela litzor eshkol echad okolot. The man is hired to take off the grapes from a particular eshkol, right? So he says, okay, that sounds like a good job for me. That'll be $5. And then he promptly goes and eats it up after 6 days. Well, I mean, that has nothing to do with it. The Torah gave me a chus to eat. I mean, I'm working for you, man. I'm working for you, you know? And meanwhile, the owner gets nothing, and the poor gets paid for eating the man's grapes. So says Rav Asi, even if the man was only hired to be boter a particular cluster of grapes, he can eat that cluster of grapes. Furthermore, says Rav Asi, afilu lo boter ela eshkol echad ochlo. Now we're going to talk about what the difference is between those two. Rav Asi furthermore says, even if the man had only picked one cluster of grapes, he can eat that cluster. And we'll talk about what the two sheetahs are over here. But in any event, we would be saying like this. The Tana Kama is saying, Po'el Ochel Kishuk. A poor can eat a melon, mashma, when that's all there is. So that even if that's all that he's working on is the melon, he can eat that melon up. And that's what it means when it says Po'el Ochel Kishuk. And it doesn't matter how much it's worth. Comes along Rav Elazar not to say that it doesn't matter if he was with the only thing, or if it was a part of other things. The point is, you can never eat more than what it is that the value of your salary is, no matter what. So that's Rav Elazar. Anyway, that would mean that there's a limitation that's built into this thing. Anyway, comes along now the Rabbanan at the end of the Mishnah to say, no, it would be perfectly okay to eat more than your salary. But if all you have to eat is this single melon, because that's all you were hired to eat, that you can't eat. So those would be the three shittos in this Ibai's aim. They're not the aim, but not the question of malamdim or ain't malamdim, but rather the three shittos, the two machlokes between the Tanakam and the Rabbanan, would revolve around the situation in which that's all that you had. Are you allowed to eat it or not? By the way, what is the meaning, says the Gemara now, of the two ma'amarim of Rav Asi? The first ma'amar of Rav Asi says, even if you were only hired for one melon, you can eat that melon. And the second ma'amar was that even if you have only managed to harvest one melon, you can eat that melon. What's the difference between those two? I mean, obviously, in the second case of Rav Asi, the man was hired to work all day, but he hasn't managed to do anything yet. He's just starting his job. We know those kind of workers, right? Well, it's time for coffee break. I already worked very hard in getting the cups clean, so now let's pour some coffee in them. And that's essentially what the guy did. He picked his one melon, says, all right, now it's time for a break, now eat the melon. I'll get back to work in a little while. This is fairly typical. Here it is, all right? So that would be now two completely different cases. Why do I need to have both of those cases? Let's read them. The Iyash Minan HaShkar Maizan, we would only have the first case. So I would say perhaps the reason that Rav Asi allows you to eat that single melon that you were hired to take is the way to make the Caleb Shalva Alabayit. That's because if you don't eat this melon, you're not going to have any other melon to eat. That's all you've got. The Torah was Mizaki you to eat. So we can't say, well, no, first give something to the Balabayas and then take something to eat, because they'll say, well, if I give it to the Balabayas, what will I eat? But in a case where he's going to be working all day, it would be reasonable perhaps to say to the man, hey, could eat the mace of the kennel of Balabayas? And after all, we have the deek with Kelyecha. El Kelyecha Lotitain. Don't put it into your own pack. But you're supposed to put it into the pack of the Balabayas. So then we would say to him, late to break, first at least get some work done for the Balabayas, and then Bahadalevo. And then go ahead and eat. On the other hand, the Yashmina Bahafa would only know this latter case. I would say, okay, I understand if the guy's going to be working all day, so in the end, the Balabayas gets something out of it, right? Okay, so maybe the Torah doesn't mind if he sits and takes his coffee break first. Because Bahaf, I would say the Epshin of human of the soul, at least in the end, he's going to be giving something to the Balabayas. I would like to go Epshin of human of the soul. Amo, if you're never going to be able to give the Balabayas something because if there's only one thing and you're going to eat that thing, then it sounds a little bit silly to say the Torah will be Mizaka to you. So maybe in that case, Rav Asi wouldn't have gone so far. That's why we need, both of the cases of Rav Asi. Okay, so far we have two possibilities in the machlokas between the Tanakama and the Rabbanan and the Seifa. Ibai Seima, or there's a third possibility that the machlokas between them revolves around the question of Rav. Ikebenayo de Rav. Yomar Rav, Rav says, Masaki Negilat Tarim, I found a secreted parchment in which in which Rabbi Chia wrote,
in the Beis HaMedrash Rabbi Chia. Now, the Megillat Sfarim, remember that before the Heter to write the Mishnah, so there was no one was allowed to write anything for publication. Now, obviously, you were allowed to write down your own notes, so that you shouldn't forget what it is that you had learned. But those things needed to be kept private. They were not meant to be published for others. And that's the Megillat Sfarim. So ever this is the Rambam describes in great detail when he goes into the history of the Ksiva Teresh Bapra and Agadoma. But in any event, these Megillot Sfarim subsequently were found sometimes, people's personal notes, and they represented shitot that sometimes were radically different than the shitot that were incorporated in the Mishnah and in the prices that were accepted for publication. So when Rav is quoting over here, he's quoting the Megillat Sfarim that represents what appears to be a very dramatic departure in the understanding of the din of the Achilat Torah. And it said as follows, the Ketuvah, it said in the Megillat Sfarim, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, that Isi ben Yehuda says, the Pasuk of Kitavo Bekerem Re'echa, V'achalta Anavim Mekenat Shecha Sov Echa, right? Or so, the meaning of that is that's not referring to a worker. Where does it say to hear about a worker? All it says is when you come into okay, so it sounds like anybody can walk into anybody's karam and eat. What does it say? What? Doesn't say anything about being a worker. You're the one who figured out it was talking about a worker by its appearance for sure, for Kasima, and so on. But the Pasuk of the Pasuk is that it's talking about anybody. And Isi ben Yehuda, in fact, learns that that's the meaning of the Pasuk. Rav, who found that Megillat Sfarim, said, this is mad. If Isi is right, we might as well close up shop in the world. I mean, what would be the point of owning property? If anybody come in and eat what it is that you grew? And Omar Ravashi, now Ravashi clarified what was going on over. He says, Amida Mishmaitik Amira Khan, I said over this story about Rav. Now it should say like this, Omar Li, and he told me, Vilma Ba'osim B'Tzudatan. Not that somebody, Ben Yehuda meant that anybody can go in and take somebody else's food, obviously. But what it meant is that anyone can go in and volunteer to harvest, so to speak. So in other words, let's say I see a vineyard that's ready now for picking. Nobody's hired me to pick, but I say, I can't workers. I'll pick, and my desire will be that I'll get to eat. So it's worth it for him, it's worth it for me. That's what it's meant. It isn't meant that stam you can go in. So, okay, so Dilma Bosin Bisudatan, Sav Gavanku. Maybe all that Isi Ben Yehuda meant is it's not a Tohel, meaning someone who is hired and is being paid. It's anyone who wants to do the work for the Balabai can go in, do the work, and get the right to eat. So why does Rav say that that's a disaster? And I told him it should say, right, in other words, the Rav says, even so, Afilohachi, that a man wants control over his vineyard. He'll hire the guys that he wants to hire. And not that people should be allowed to come in and volunteer to do my work for me. That's also called not allowing survival for anybody. But obviously, then you didn't mean you could just walk in and eat somebody else's food. Okay. But in any event, this now would represent, perhaps, the machlokas between the Tanakhama and the Shita at the end. So in other words, what we would say is that the Tanakhama, now there's actually a machlokas over here about who holds what, between the Rosh and between the way Rashi understands it. So there's also two Gersoth in Rashi, whether the Tanakhama is the one who doesn't hold the Isi, and the Rabbanan do hold the Isi. If the Tanakhama doesn't hold the Isi, it would be because the Tanakhama says the word Ochel Po'el Kishut. So now the Tanakhama is stressing a worker can eat Kishut, not him. So notice he's going out of his way to say, not like Isi Ben Yehuda. Whereas the Chachamim, and there it just says Matirim. So if they're Matirim to eat more than the Zakar, it's because it's independent of Zakar. The guy isn't even being paid. I mean, he can take without being paid at all. How can we say that it has a relationship to payment? That would link the two sheikhs in the Mishnah directly to the issues that Isi Ben Yehuda has raised.
So it means we have three possibilities of the machlokas. The first way we learned it was that they're arguing in whether malambino, so whether we go out of our way to see to it that people don't behave in ways that are socially unacceptable. That was the question of the malambim. Is that the heat of the second rabbanon over here? The other way we were learning it was that they were arguing about Rav Asi's case, in which the only thing that was available was this kishut, and that's all that you were hired to eat, to pick, whether you're allowed to eat it or not. Here is his orchal poil kishut. And the third shot was that they were arguing in Isi. Do you have to be a poel in order to eat, or can you be anybody, regardless of whether you're being paid or not, as long as you're working for the man? Now, the next part of the Mishnah, as I pointed out when we learned the Mishnah, raises in our minds the following question. Poel mishalohu okel o mishal shamayahu okel. How do we view the right of a worker to be eating during the time that he's working? Do we view this as being a mandatory tip that the Torah was b'chayev you to give? In which case, we have to see it as part of his salary. So it would be mishalo, it would be his own thing. Or is it essentially a gift that the Torah has given him the way that it rewards gifts to the poor? Just like lekachikhu peah. In which case, it has nothing to do with his salary. And I say, what's the difference? It's pretty clear. Let's say the man would say, I'll tell you what, instead of my eating, why don't you give the fruit that I would normally eat to my wife or my kids that are not working, they're sitting here watching me. I will starve myself, but I'd like my wife and children to have something to eat. So just hand it to them. If this is indeed a tip, he can give a tip to whoever he wants. He gives a tip to his wife and his kids, it's fine. So then the obvious, we would have to give it to the wife and kids. You're telling me that this is only that the Torah has given him a right to eat as a type of tzedakah to live the day. The Torah has given him that tzedakah as he eats it. But until he eats it, he doesn't have anything. It's not that this represents a monetary right of any kind. So the Torah did not give a right to someone who isn't working, it doesn't matter how related you are, to someone who is working, to take what the person would have been zolkah to had he put it into his mouth to eat it. So it would make a tremendous difference how we view this whole thing. So how indeed do we view it? As a gift or as a tip as part of salary? Tashma. Well, I mean, it depends on our mission. I mean, the mission says, Ochel poel kishut apilo b'dinner. Mikotevet apilo b'dinner. Now, that implies that a guy who is hired to do 25 cents worth of work is going to be eating a dollar worth of fruit, which is insane. See, I mean, I ask you to consider for a moment if you view this as being a tip. Did you ever hear of a tip that's 10 times the amount of the salary? I mean, wait, the guy is going to be hired to work for a quarter, so he's ogre of a donkey, and he's also a zuka, he's hired to work for a quarter, and then he gets a dollar tip? That doesn't make any sense. Therefore, it must be the very fact that the Tanakhama allows this kind of behavior is that there's not meant to be any significant relationship between his work and his eating any more than there's meant to be a significant relationship in a poor man of how poor he is to how much he's eating. He's poor, he's allowed to eat like that, that's all. So here's a poel. What's the doctor mean when he's being paid? He's a poel, and a poel is allowed to eat, irregardless of what he's making, which means it's a gift. So what? I understand it makes more sense the way you're learning it than what it's a gift. Never mind, because from my mochel, I mean, what kind of crazy gift is this? It's a gift that is being given specifically to someone who has to work. So I'm going to ask you the same question. The bottom line is, I'm going to say, if the Torah itself has mandated this gift only as part of working, I can ask you the same question. The Torah is going to give someone who was hired to work for a quarter, it's going to give him a $10 gift. Does that make sense? If you're talking about a gift that has nothing to do with anything other than your status, I understand. But over here, the gift has to do with the fact that you're working. So it doesn't make any sense to give a gift like this any more than it makes sense to give a mandatory tip. What are you going to say? You're going to say, well, you're right. It doesn't make sense. But Rachman is actually right. What you're telling me is what? The Torah is giving this to him, and that's what it assigned to him, and it didn't mean to make it dependent on the amount of his salary. That's what you'd have to say. Fine. So you could say that if the Torah was being mezakeh as a mandatory tip, you'll say the Torah gave an insane tip. No, we'll go argue with God. But it's no different. You're also going to have to come and say that it doesn't necessarily make sense. What is talking like? No, that's right. He actually does get very think about it. Tushma. Now let's see if we can make this dependent in the latter part of the Mishnah, which is where we noted that it would be no gain. Below the chasma, lo yochal poel yoter al tzoros. According to Rebbe, a poel cannot take more than his salary. Because for me, matirim, as the Kohanim say, makes no difference. Now, isn't it reasonable to suppose that they're arguing specifically in this issue? So my law, Barkanifugat. My sovereign Mishalahu, okay? One man the armor holds, he's eating his own tip. Therefore, it makes no sense to have a tip that's more than a salary. Whereas the Rabbanan are saying, Michel Shomai will also. It's not a tip, it's a gift. And it's a gift. It makes more sense to allow a gift that has no real proportionate relationship to the salary. Having been defined as a poel because of the fact that he needs to work, he is now included in this gift, regardless of what he's making for his work. That makes sense that that should be the argument, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, in terms of conjecture, if we're going to live on conjecture, we can live on conjecture as much as we want. You know, would you like another explanation? If you have an explanation, well, it can't prove anything. Maybe the Kuleyama Mishaloh. Maybe everybody agrees that he's eating his own and it's a question of tip. Now, the truth is this doesn't necessarily follow. I mean, it could be the other way. The only reason we're suggesting maybe everybody else Mishaloh is because we got off saying that according to the Tanakhama, he's Mishamayim Mishaloh. But I mean, as Tosis points out, that's not the issue. The issue is that we're saying over here, look, there does not have to be any linkage between the salary that defines the guy as the poel and either tip or gift. That's not the issue. Logically, the only reason there would be such a linkage is if I find it in the pasuk. Okay. Where would I find such a linkage in the pasuk of this particular tip or gift as the case may be? As we said in the opening of the sermon, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't make any more sense, really. It's not much more sense as a gift than a tip. Where would we find the linkage? Well, the Torah says, and then it uses the word kidnap shecha. Now, what does kidnap shecha mean? As your own. What do you mean as your own? Oh, we dodged it earlier, kidnap shecha. Earlier in the parak. What, you don't like handkerchiefs? Not sanitary enough for you? Yes, ever since you began this mountain climbing, not only does it take you longer to get down off the mountain, but you become much more demanding. But I like to get up, I'll tell you. I like to get up. So, only way to pick up one of those. So, the drosh that we had earlier in the parak was kenach shecha means that there's no iser of chasimat pi poel, the way there would be a law of chasimat pi parah. There's a kenach shecha, the same way you can work if you want to tie something around your own mouth, you can tie it around your poel's mouth. That's not the issue. However, if you don't use the pasuk for that drosh, then kenach shecha seems to be saying that in exchange for that which you have given your life, which is your work, people give their life to their work. This guy is working now. In doing work, you risk your life. And the guy's going to climb a tree to pick. Right? I mean, so he's risking his life. People always risk their life for their work. Either they risk a heart attack, or they risk a fall, or they risk their family, or whatever it is, but they're always risking everything for their money, right? Okay, so then this would be the way that the Torah would be referring to your salary. In other words, this which you are doing for your livelihood, which is always worth your life, okay, so that means the Torah now links the right to eat to your livelihood. So then it would be telling you, don't go beyond your livelihood. But if you learn that it's telling me what it said earlier in the prayer, that we're comparing the poel to you, kenach shecha, then we wouldn't be linking it. If there's no link in the pasuk, there's nothing to be mechayev us logically to link it. That's what we're suggesting over here. So maybe that's the machlokes. Whether there is such a linkage mandated by the Torah, that's all. So one man the almost kenach shecha b'davar shemos kenach shecha. In exchange for this, meaning that work that he's doing for which he's risking his life, Umar Sava, the other man the armor holds, that kenafshecha means ma nafshecha in chasam tapatura. Poel is chasam tapatura. There's no issue in terms of lo saksom shor b'disho in lo saksom poalcha b'disho. That's all that it means. So we have no right. Okay, let's take a look at a brisa. See if we can bring a riot from the brisa as to whether we view it as a tip or as a gift. Kashna. Nazir sha'amar, a nazir who is working with grapes, and obviously he cannot eat those grapes because the nazir is not allowed to eat the grapes. So he says, "Tnu, give it to my wife, give it to my kids." Ein shamim lo, we do not listen to him. Now why not? So, if this is a tip, what do you mean we don't listen to him? This is his right. Why would we not listen? He's saying, I can't take the tip myself, give it to my kid. Well, what's the problem with that? Am I Ishmael? So obviously it must be because it's just a gift. Okay, so you can't take the gift. What am I supposed to do? But the gift was never given to your kids. They're not working, and therefore they're not eating. Because the Gemara, not necessarily. Maybe the reason over there is specifically because he's a nazir. And if a nazir, he shouldn't be working in grapes anyway. So therefore we fine him. You want to sit there and work with grapes? That's your problem. We're not giving no tips to nobody. Mishum left on the nazir. Hey, nazir baby. Go man, go. Close the karma. All around that vineyard. Lot the karev. Don't get close to the vineyard. Then you'll be what you're out. Taking a job now, I mean, a perfect job. You know, the guy who's on the diet who goes works in a pizza shop. It's absolutely perfect, right? As Richie could tell us. Toshma. Here it doesn't say a nazir, it says a worker. A worker. Now this is what we're looking for. Okay, let's avoid the nazir issue. A worker who says, give it to my wife. And show me, well, we don't listen to him. Now what are you going to say now, right? See, Amit, if you tell me, Michelangelo, that this is meant to be a tip, why can't he give his tip to his wife? Am I in Shalimlo? So clearly we proven from here that it's a gift and not a tip. Nah, when it says a worker, it means a nazir. Michael Nazir. What do you mean Nazir? But there's two separate branches. One says Nazir and one says Poel. I mean, obviously the Poel is not the Nazir. But what's the point of saying two? Vatanya Nazir, Vatanya Poel? The branch separately addresses a Poel and a Nazir. Yes, the morning the price was separately addressed. Meaning, Shabbat, Adari, Tanya, what? Are these two prices set in the same collection of prices next to each other? The one should reflect on the other? These are different collections of prices. One that was Medayak to say Nazir. The other one said Foil and allowed it for the reader to understand what type of Foil would be referring to in order to keep the issue open. Maybe Nazir. And it's only because it's called Kola Karma. Or maybe it's a Foil and it's because it's not Mishalokel. I go figure it out. So that's always the Derech of Torah about that. All right, so one of them was more descriptive than the other. Tashma. Okay, let's see if we can bring a right from the following price. How do we know that we do not listen to a worker who says to give his things that he would have eaten to his wife and his children? You can eat, as it says, v'achalta anavim kedashecha. Fine, eat what you want, but elkel yachal lo titein. Don't put it into your knapsack. So here, giving it to your wife and children is like putting it into your knapsack. You can't eat it, so fine. You can't give it to anybody else. Now, certainly over here, we're not going to say that it's because he's a nazir. Because if it's because he's a nazir, it has nothing to do with putting it into his knapsack. It's because we're fining him for working with grapes. So why would it say, don't put it into your knapsack? Right. So now, it's the same as saving it for later. Here's the thing, I can't eat, so I'll put it to my knapsack. Torah says you can't do that. You say, I can't eat, I'll give it to someone. Same thing. Right? Now, this has nothing to do with being a nazir, obviously. Because otherwise, what does that have to do with the Kel Yechah? The Chitay Malchanami Nazir. Don't try to give me this business that when it says Poel, it's actually referring to a nazir. Because then, why does it say Mishum El Kel Yechah Lo Titein? Why is the problem not putting it to your knapsack? It should say Mishum in the Zira. It's because we should be telling the nazir to go around and not to come close to the Kerem and at the Knaf. Well, you know, I mean, Einachinami, maybe it is referring to a nazir, but as vague as we're trying to be, as vague as we possibly could be, in order to leave this issue open. So Heidi's explaining to Elisha Poel, because the Akkadah introduces the issue as a worker. Now you figure out what kind of worker, right? So Mamele, he brings a pasuk as an asmat, but it would be Nogea Poel. Well, as far as this Poel is concerned, he's really an usher. As far as this Poel is concerned, it might as well be the equivalent of sticking it in his knapsack, as far as we tell him. That you can't have it. That doesn't mean that necessarily this is the way that it would be true of a general poel who doesn't have the problem of doing something wrong and works the individual. So we still have no absolute proof. So Shema, let's see if we can bring the proof from the following right. Now normally, if they take out what's complete by picking it, so at that point it would be nigmar malakto, and it's not included in the rights that the poel has. But over here, when his being hired specifically to take these ta'anim and to turn them into ktiyot, so he's supposed to take them, spread them out to dry, to make dry ta'anim, and then press them and so on. So that means that they're not considered to be nigmar malakam, they're not completed until after we do the drying process. And it's his work right now to do the drying process. Therefore, at this point, since it was defined that that's going to be what we do with it, it's not nigmar malakam, and he should have a right to eat it. So hareza ochel, he can therefore eat it. It's pater min ha-maaser, because since they are waiting now for drying, until such time as they dry, they're not chayav in maaser. But if the guy says, almanach, ochel ani uvni osher yochal v'ni v'schari. Now here's an interesting thing. Suppose the guy says, well, I want to make a condition that my son also should have a right to eat it, even though the son isn't working for you. Or how about if my son eats it in place of me? Then if he eats, it's proper from my son. But in other words, in place of my salary. If he eats, it's proper from my son. My work. My son eats, he's chayav v'maaser. Now the reason for that is, why is he chayav v'maaser? Because a sale immediately completes the malacha for maaser. So the moment that somebody bought it, that's it, you're finished with it. So for all intents and purposes, now your work with it has been completed, and therefore at that instant it becomes chayav v'maaser. Making a condition of this sort is essentially a sale. So you've now sold what was yours in order to be given to your son. So then it becomes chayav v'maaser. But the problem is, if he would have a right to this as a tip, so then Benoah my chayav, if the Torah told us that this particular tip, and we learned this out from the pasuk of Kinaf Shefa also earlier, that just as if when the owner eats something, it's pasuk from Maaser and Tos Nigmar Malakta, so too when he gives it to his poel, it's Kinaf Shefa Sodecha, and it's as if he's eating it himself. We don't say, but to the poel, it's a business deal, to Mecca, because he's being paid. We don't say that. That's only because of the pasuk. Okay, fine, but if the pasuk is so decreed that my giving it to my workman is as a tip, is not Machayev you in Maaser, so his transferring the tip to his son also is not Machayev in Maaser, right? Because all he's saying is take that tip and give it to the son, and that tip is plucked from Maaser, not considered to be a Mecca. It's his tip. So this seems to prove that indeed it's a gift, not a tip. And therefore, since he was never Zoka in the gift, it becomes now a simple condition of payment. Let's pretend that I was Zoka and he would give it to my son. Okay, but then that's business. That's not part of the original thing that there was Mizakim. So this seems to prove conclusively that it's not Mishaloh Oka. Omer Avina, not necessarily. It may well be that Mi'ikar Hadin, the son, should not have to take Maaser. But it's Mi'ikzi Kameka. To the onlooker who's not familiar with the complex construction of the Torah's Heter for this tip, it looks as if it were a sale. And therefore, we need to treat it, Mi'rabbanan, as a sale and be Machayev in the Maaser. But the truth is, he really is Machayev in the Maaser. Okay, let's see if we could bring another raya then. So Shema, how about this case? Well, so cheret ha-poel la'asod b'netar avai shalom. Somebody who hires a workman to work in a vineyard that turns out to be fourth-year produce. Now, fourth-year produce, the halach is that it has the same din as Maaser Sheni, can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. So when the guy comes and he's about to stick that luscious grape into his mouth, the owner says, wait, you're not in Yerushalayim, you mustn't eat that. What? Nobody ever told me that this was fourth-year produce. How come he didn't say anything? So have they lo yoklu? They can't eat it. But in lo hodiyin, if they were right in saying it, why didn't you say so? I never would have been willing to work in a vineyard that I wasn't going to be able to munch on. So then indeed, poder umachilam, you would have to go ahead as the owner and be poder these grapes, which of course is the same thing as Vaitasheni, poder netzer avoid when you poder Vaitasheni, and then let the owner eat the grapes. Now, if you're going to tell me that the din here all along is a gift min Hashemayim, well, obviously the Torah didn't gift something that's also to eat, did it? I mean, if this is not edible, then it wasn't included in the gift that was given. So what's it my business that you're hungry? The Torah never gave you the right to eat from things that are usher. This is usher. What's it my responsibility to go ahead and be quoted it so you should feel happy? In this particular case, there was no gifting. So, therefore, it implies that indeed this is not a din in a gift. It's my responsibility to see to it that a man gets sick. Does anyone know? That has nothing to do with that. Over here, it's from the Mystic of Mekachot. It's because, in terms of the business deal, you hired a guy who had every right to assume that he was going to be getting munchies while he's working. It was on that basis that he took the job. And you're not supplying him with munchies. Why aren't you supplying him?
This is obviously a case for this group to get in and strike and close down the country. I mean, you know, drink the rest.
That's actually how it all started. You can hire as long as he knows, but if he doesn't, yeah, that's his business. But if he doesn't know, he doesn't know. Hey, my Jesus. Well, wait a second. You can't say that over here it's dependent on the problem of his knowing enough, because take a look at the next case. Nitfarsu agulav or nitfakhu chavuyotav. Now, suppose a guy had already processed, and either he was making fig cakes, agulot, and what happened is that they fell apart. So now he has to hire somebody again to squeeze them together, to press them, to repress his figs. Or he had already peeled his wine barrels. In those days, they used kerris, by the way, not wood that you could simply stick the top back in. And they used a pottery barrel, and the top of the barrel was sealed with cement onto the barrel. And then it would need to be broken in order to be used. Over here, his barrel popped. The wine was fermenting, they popped the barrels. He hires people to seal his barrels. Now, these people think that they were hired to press figs the first time around. They don't know that these figs have already been pressed and that they're chayav in meiser and that they're not allowed to be eaten because they're tevel. A guy went over to them, he hired them, he said, come press figs. So naturally they assumed that come press figs means for the first time. Or same thing with the barrel. They assumed that they were supposed to be sealing the wine for the first time. Now, it says there, if he didn't tell them that it's not the first time, he has to take off the maaser and he has to give it. Now, if the din is that this is not a tip, but it's a gift, what's my responsibility? Am I maaser or machilan? Obviously, the Torah didn't give them the right to eat tarfus. This is terrible. It's tarfus. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, oh, well, it's because they were hired on the basis of assuming that they would have a right to eat those figs, and they can't eat those figs. Now, that's what you'll try to give me, the same story that you gave me in the earlier case. Ah, now I got you, because you can't, you see. So he came out, and I didn't shoot the news, and I just told me all the years also, because they assumed that they would have munchies, and they don't. Now, the first case, yes, you could say that. In Tarkulah, the law, with a figs fell apart, they need to be repressed. You'd be absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Then it's Mirzika Mechachos. But the case of the wine barrels, what would be the case of the wine barrels? What's the Mechachos? Meaning you ought to be Yitzvalula Maaser. They know from the fact that the wine is already in barrels that it's already been taken out of the vat and therefore it's already settled. Vatanya, Yayin, Mishir, Edlebo. As soon as the wine is gathered in the vat at the winery before it's even put into the barrel, it was chayav ha'maaser. Well, no, this is going from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, he holds that it's only mishiyakpeh. It's only at such a time that you do the skimming off the top. Now, there were two different points at which you would have to skim. The first skimming would be when the product of the grape that float to the top, like, let's say, the seeds and large pieces, not the leaves, but the seeds and large pieces of skin. That comes up still in the vat. That would be skinned away. Then they would package the wine in the barrel. It would begin to ferment. And at that point, some of the lees, together with the foam of the fermentation, would rise to the top. They would skim that off and then seal the barrel. So now, according to Rabbi Akiva, now at this point we're saying that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's the hakpa'ah, that first skimming, that's mechayev in ma'aseh. Okay? So it's talking about over here that it's going like Rabbi Akiva, and what it means is that Amar of Shesha Shinit Patchu Chavuyotav Lebor. Sorry, I skipped that word. Okay, I should have mentioned it. Rav Shesha says it's talking about not that the barrel simply popped, the barrel cracked, and the wine went back into the vat in the winery. Okay? So everything is now back where it was. They're hired, and they think that they're filling the barrel, and therefore it's not chayiv and maaser. But Tanya Yain Mishier Labor, doesn't it say that it was already chayiv and maaser if it's in the vat? No, they thought that it wasn't chayiv and maaser because even though it's still in the vat, it hadn't been skinned. So it is a Mecca quote. The Amrale lo haviyadinan. We didn't know that it wasn't skinned. So now, why can't you tell them? What do you mean you didn't know? So it was up to you to find out. I mean, nobody ever told you that this was wine that wasn't nigmer melato. What made you think that when you were being hired, you would have a right to drink the wine? That's not my problem. That's your problem. And therefore, the only issue over here is whether the Torah had actually given you such a gift, but obviously if it's a gift, the Torah didn't give you the gift. If it did, sir. So what's your problem? Not necessarily. Because Dilma, what they could be saying, here he's telling them, he brought a call, I took that back to Dilma and Israel. How did you know that it wasn't already skinned? Then maybe it's talking about the Asra, Da'u Gavra, the Nagid, Ihu Amakpeh. It's talking about where the normal minhag in that place is, that the skimming was done by the person who filled the barrel. So when you go and you hire a workman to fill your barrels, you naturally assume the first part of his job is skinning, which means that he would have a right to drink until he finishes skinning. So he did have a right to assume that he would have his munchies, or in this case, slightly alcoholic munchies. Remember, it's still pretty grapey juice. So, therefore, maybe it's only because of Mechatos again. It doesn't prove anything. By the way, now that we know in the Brisa that Revid learned by the Brisa of Relotia, that the machlokis between Rabbi Akiva and the Tadakama is not what we thought, that it has to do with the original skimming. But on the contrary, the Tadakama is the one who holds Yayin Mishiyerid Lavar V'yikapet, that only after it's been skimmed in the vat is it chayav in Meiser. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, Mishiyashleh V'chavuyot, it's talking about that you took the wine out and you put it into the chavi, and now you went ahead and you were sholeh, you skimmed the foam that rose to the top of the chavi, of the barrel that has some of the leaves in it, right? So over there, now it turns out that the Tanakhama holds the equivalent of what Rabbi Akiva held before. And Rabbi Akiva is saying even further, that you could have the wine in a barrel and it still won't even be Nigmar Malacha. So now we don't have to say what we said before, that Rabbi Chase said it's talking about that the barrel cracked completely, even though all it said was that the barrel popped open. You know, we have to stretch that into meaning, well, the barrel popped open totally and broke. No, now we can go back and say, it popped open. So they were hired to steal a barrel. So they come along, and now according to Rabbi Akiva, they come along, and they say, we thought, that's what we're going to answer, obviously. You're always ahead, you have to wait. So they thought that they were hired now to seal the barrel, that would give them time to drink. That we're going like Rabbi Akiva. The fact that it's in a barrel doesn't mean it. Little did they know that these barrels had already been sealed and had originally been skimmed. So that would be the case. That's why it's a Mechatos. So the Amrule, they tell the work, they tell the Balabayas, well, Aviyadina and Damashli, well, we didn't know that this was the second time around and that this was already skinned. So why can't you tell them what you didn't know? Why didn't you think? Why didn't you consider? Why didn't you ask? And if you didn't ask, then obviously it doesn't matter to you and you were willing to work on it even without munchies. You should have considered the possibility. Dilma Mashli, maybe it had been skinned, even if I had never sealed it before, it might have been skinned. The object that I showed it to, actually, and some of it is already said, it's talking about a locale in which the barrel stealer is the skimmer. So when you hire someone to steal your barrels, that means that he knows the job consists of skinning and sealing, in which case they thought they could eat up until the time of the skin. So we have no raya from here. Okay? Take the next case. Tashma. Kotik Adam, that is the next Mishnah. Kotik Adam Ayadei Atzmo, or Ayadei Benoi Bito Hagdolim. A person can make a deal to be kotik, to take money instead of what he otherwise would have eaten. So say, look, I'll tell you what. I won't take any of the things we're working on, even though I have a right, a legal right to do so. And instead, why don't I take a 10% raise in my salary? So he can make that deal for himself. He can make that deal for his kids who are working alongside with him, if they are adults, because then they can be mochel. If they're allowing their father to make the deal, so fine, they're mochel for him. He can make a deal for his workers that he owns, as long as they're gdolim, and this of course is going to be important later on, and they have to be able to be mochel too. He's not allowed to make a deal like this for his minor children. So he can't make a deal like this for his animal, because his animal he didn't discuss it with. Now, we assume that what we're talking about over here is the case of the Ma'alel and Mizonot, where this individual is responsible for supporting these people. So he's taking care of his wife. He's taking care of his children, even though they're not minors. And he's taking care of his avodim.
And they're all working together.
And they're working together, but
he, right?
No.
No,
it doesn't matter. I mean, they have to make these mochel. But the point is, I mean, not mochel, but making a deal to take money instead. But the point is that since he's the one that's responsible for their mizonot, we assume that that's the idea, and that they therefore are going to be mochel in exchange for whatever deal he's making, because anyway, he's taking their salary, and then he's going to give them the mizanot, so what's their business, right? So, if you're going to tell me that this is not really a mandatory tip, it's a gift that's given to a person, okay, so then we should not be eno kotei. That would explain why such an individual cannot be kotzeit for his avodim, who are ktanim, because the eved who is a katan anyway does only is going to get the skhus at the moment that he's eating it. Right? So he's not, it makes no sense to say, okay, we'll make the deal. What do you mean we'll make the deal? It was only at the time that he actually gets it that he's going to have a skhus in it, you see? So it's not possible to take. What are you going to do? You're going to take it? He wasn't going to get to take it. And he can't be mochel to make the deal. So how, in what way could you make such a deal? But if you're telling me that no. This is a tip. And as a tip, essentially this is due. You make a deal, this is part of the salary. It's understood that there's going to be a tip. So I understand. Why can't you make that deal? Why do you need their das if anyway their salary is going to you? They're your slaves. So you make whatever deal you want with their salary. It must be that it's not a salary. It must be that it's a gift, and there's no such time as the gift actually comes into his mouth. There's nothing to discuss, and he can't be mochelist, because he doesn't have the house to be mochel. So in the mail, that would explain why he can't make a deal for a lot of next time. But if you're going to tell me, Mishalo Ochel, if it's actually a gift, and it's looked at as simply part of the salary, I'm Ayeno Kotei. In the same way that he's allowed to take his salary, he'd be able to take a tip of their salary. It's part of what's owed for them, right? So Ktanim Nami Lakutsu. He should be able to make whatever deal he wants, even for Ktanim. Says the Gemara, yes, you would be right if your assumptions were right. Your assumptions are that it's talking about that he's supporting them and that therefore he's just simply doing this in exchange for the salary. How come I ask you to begin my line on talking over here that he does not support them. So then how can he make a deal like this for Gedolim even? The question is, if he's not supporting them, then why should we assume that the Gedolim are really mochel? Why isn't this just the sense that they have that they don't have much of a choice? Right? This is abuse, essentially. Mm-hmm. He's telling you, you're mochel, aren't you? I said, you're mochel, aren't you?
Yeah, sure, 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 Master. We're mobile, sure. Absolutely.
Right? So therefore, he shouldn't be able to make that deal either. He says, come on, okay, nonetheless, that would be Gedolim Lamaisa or Yadi Vikramachmas.
But Tani Raboshe could say, but I'm going to say, 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 I'm so far it's the same as the Mishnah and it's right, but here's where it differs.
Here it says that you can become safe even for an Eved Katan.
Now, the difference, therefore, between the Mishnah and the Braisa would be what?
Assuming, my love, Edi B'malon and Menzonos.
The most logical thing to say is both are talking about a case where you are taking care of their salary, and the machlokas between the Mishnah and the Braisa is exactly the issue that we're looking for.
Mar Savar Mishal Ochel, Mar Savar Mishal Shamayim Ochel.
They're arguing in this issue. Can I be kosate if he's a kosher?
Well, depends. If it's part of his salary, I could be kosate if he's a kosher.
Therefore, it says in the Braisa, you could be kosate even if he has a kosher.
But if it's a gift, there's no way in which I can take something that he hasn't been zoka in yet. He would only be in zoka, and at the moment it's put into his mouth. And he can't be mo for the gift if he's a cotton.
And that's the machlokas. That's what our Mishnah says.
And therefore you do not have a zkut in them because they haven't put it into their mouth yet.
So now the answer to our question would be, it's a machlokas between the Tana of the Mishnah and the Tana of the Braisa.
Whether it's viewed as a gift or whether it's viewed as a mandatory tip.
Well, yeah, but then look, you could also say, well, maybe everybody is agreeing that actually it's a tip. And the question over here is, whether you were Ma'alele and Mizonot, the Lokasha, Khan, Bisha ain't Ma'alele and Mizonot, Ubrice, the Ma'alele and Mizonot. Maybe there is no Ma'alele between the Mishnah and Bryce.
Maybe there are different cases. Isn't that more logical? Why create an argument?
Why not simply say that the Bryce is talking about where you are Ma'alele and Mizonot? So if you are Ma'alele and Mizonot, then you have a right to the tip too.
The Mishnah is talking about Bisha ain't Ma'alele and Mizonot.
And therefore, they have a right to keep their money?
Well, no. Wait a second.
Then I don't understand. If it's talking about that you are Ma'alele and Mizonot, and that's the case in the Braisa, so then why can you not be kosate even for your children, the Ketani? The Ketani Nami Lakutsa. Why not make a deal for Ketani also? I mean, the fact is they're eating because you're giving them food, right? So who cares? So then don't have them eat this. If you're telling me to be Shalom Ochel, and say, look, instead of you eating these grapes, kiddos, I'm taking extra 10% of your salary. They added 10% onto your salary. Don't complain. I'm giving you plenty of pizza tonight. So what's wrong with that? Says the Gemara, what's wrong with it is that the Torah never gave you the right to any pain that is suffered by your children. That's the point. And since over here the deprivation is painful, the delayed gratification, but the rights that you have to their salary is only because of rights to the Ketani. But you don't have rights. And therefore, if, let's say, in a case of rape, right, so the Torah specifically gives the father the fine and so on, but not the pain. There's no sechus to the pain. The pain is completely personal. We open a bank account for the child. So the male over here too, the tsarayu did know, and the Torah never gave a father a right to abuse of his children or to the rights of the pain suffered from anybody else's abuse. And so the male, that's their own personal money. The question of whether he could exchange the support for them in return for their salary, that's a different issue. But certainly not paying. So you don't have a right to deprive them of what they view as their munchies. Delayed gratification is hopelessly painful as any good red-blooded American will tell you. Alright, so now, b'mayu kinta l'masnisa. What exactly then are you learning the case of the Mishnah as now? You're saying that it's mishalo ochel. And you're saying the reason that he cannot be cut for them is because we should aim Ma'alele and Mizonot. But wait a second. What does that mean? You have Avadim, and you're saying, work, and be mocho, the munchies, but I'm not going to be feeding you. Can you do that? Well, it depends. Actually, as we know from Gittin, it's a big machlokas. Whether you, as a master, can tell your servants, I don't intend to feed you guys, you worry about your own parnasa, but work for me anyway. So if you hold like that, Madhyamar, fine. Let's get you old, like the Mangiano who says, the master does not have such a right to say, work for me and I'm not going to give you money. Okay, so then you've explained that in the case of the Mishnah where you don't have such a right, you can't speak up. If anyway you would have a right to say that to your servant, so why can you not be cut? You don't owe him anything. Oh, wait a second. This totally opens a whole different approach. So maybe that exactly is the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. They're arguing in whether you have that right. That's the easiest way to learn the Machlokas. So maybe both the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about where you're not feeding them. And that's exactly what the Machlokas is. The Masara Yachol. The Masara Yachol. So if you have a right to deprive them of their parnasa anyway, and you own their income, then you can be cut. If you don't, then you can't be cut. That would be very strange. Rav Yochanan is the one who passes that a master can indeed tell his servant, you work and I don't feed. Right? But that would mean that Rav Yochanan is turning aside from the Mishnah and following the Braisa. That's very unlikely, isn't it? I mean, Rav Yochanan is the one who always says that the Halakha is like the Mishnah. So the Halakha is the Mishnah. I mean, why would he be turning aside from the Mishnah and say, let's follow the Braisa in this case? Because according to the Mishnah, you cannot be kosher, which implies that Ein Arav Yachol Lomar, and Rav Yochanan is saying Yachol Arav Lomar. So obviously he wasn't learning the Machlokas, the Mishnah, the Braisa, in terms of whether you have a right to tell the servant to work for you without getting a parnasa. Ooh, you're right. All right, so you know what? Let's just go back to what we said before. Kulei Alam Mishal Shamayim. It says like this. Maybe everybody agrees, indeed, that it's Mishal Shamayim, not what we said, that it's Mishalah. Volo Matiko. And since it's Minash Shamayim, it means it's only Zochen at the moment it gets into his mouth. So obviously there'd be no way for me to guarantee that he's not going to eat it in advance. But when it says over here, Kotseit, which we thought Kotseit meant, I'll make a deal and you give me the money in exchange for the grapes that he was going to eat, that doesn't mean I'll be Kotseit. It means, let me make a deal with you. I'm going to feed my kids with 5 pieces of pie before they come to work for you. I guarantee you they ain't going to eat nothing. They're going to look at it and going to gag. That's what Kotseit means. Not that I'm going to get him to be mocha. I'm going to make it impossible for him to eat. I'll feed him in advance. That's all I'm saying. That's the meaning of the Kotseit. So we can say the same thing. So wait a minute. But if that's the case, you can say the same thing. The Kotseit Gabi Banto. Present. So no chutzpah. Understand? Then why did you say you cannot make such a deal for your animal? I can make a deal because you didn't discuss it with your animal. Fine, I won't discuss it with my animal. I'll feed my animal some delicious straw beforehand, and now be so full of straw that it'll gag when it sees the stuff that it's working on. And I have to discuss that with my animal.
The animal won't eat anyway.
No, as we said before, you have a right to spread out. That was the case we had yesterday. You have a right to give it all the right. You spread out all these other things, and I'm warning from the things that it's working at. Did you do the same thing? No, it's law. So this doesn't work because if what it means is mizonot, then you would have been able to do the same thing for your animal. So it can't be referred. It must mean literally to make a deal, not to provide some other food. Oh, okay, thank you, Bob. So then you're right. It must be Q.E.D. And therefore we are left with the solution to our question. And of course, in perfectly Jewish fashion, you're both right. That's who you're following. It's either a gift or it's a tip. And now, gentlemen, before we proceed and you leave, of course, Richie wants to say for Yerushalmi today, I can see it in his eyes. But before anybody leaves, I'm going to be out of town at my daughter's for Shabbat, because I will get back a little bit later than usual. I'm afraid of making it at 7:30. I don't know if I'll be able to get back as quickly. So is it possible to... Are you still doing the Shabbat mensing? So what time does that finish? It finishes at 8. So then how are you doing it at 8:15? Sleeping away. I'm sure your kids appreciated that. So, no. So I'm suggesting we make it a little bit later instead. Would that be okay? Could we make it at 9? 9 would be good. Can you climb down from the mountain?
I can get back by 9.
By 9. Can we make it 9:30 as well? Is 9:30 better?
Not that far.
9? 9 it is.
I'm also going to my daughter's.
Oh, okay. When are you leaving?
My daughter.
My son's arrived. When are you leaving?
I just came about 3 weeks ago.
You have to teach you.